Chapter 4, Captured. The ninjas pulled iron bands off their hands. The bands had spikes like claws on them.
"That's how they climb the tree," Annie whispered to Jack.
The ninjas stared at Jack and Annie with dark, piercing eyes. The rest of their faces were covered by their scarves. Jack felt frozen under their stares. Annie wasn't frozen, though. She stepped right up to them.
"Hi," she said.
The ninjas didn't say hi back. They didn't move at all. They were as still as Jack.
"We're trying to help our friend Morgan," said Annie.
She held up Morgan's note. The tall ninja took the note from her. He looked at it. Then he gave it to the short ninja. The two ninjas stared at each other. Then they looked back at Jack and Annie. Finally, the short ninja nodded once. He put the note into the pocket of his shirt.
"You can help us?" Annie asked.
Neither ninja spoke. Jack wished he could see their faces. He couldn't tell what they were thinking. The short ninja tossed the rope ladder back out of the treehouse. The tall one pointed down the ladder. Then he pointed at Jack and Annie. "Uh-oh," thought Jack. "Were they being captured?"
"Us? Go with you?" said Annie.
The ninja nodded.
"Oh, boy," said Annie.
"Oh, boy, is she nuts?" wondered Jack. The short ninja darted down the ladder. He went hand over hand. His feet didn't touch the rungs of the ladder. The tall one did the same. Jack gasped. The ninjas moved very fast. They were like spiders dropping from webs.
"Wow," said Annie.
"Now's our chance to leave," said Jack. "Quick." He looked around the treehouse again. Where was that Pennsylvania book?
"Let's go with them, Jack," said Annie.
"No, this isn't a game," Jack said.
"But I think they know something about Morgan," said Annie.
She started down the ladder. "Come back," said Jack. But it was too late. Jack sighed. "Why does this always happen?" he asked himself.
"Come on, Jack,"
came Annie's voice from below. Jack put his notebook and the ninja book into his pack. He pushed his glasses into place, and he started down the ladder. Jack joined Annie and the ninjas on the ground. The sun had fallen behind the hills. The sky was streaked with red and gold. The mouse peeked out from Annie's sweatshirt pouch.
"Don't be scared, Peanut," Annie whispered. "We'll take care of you."
Great, thought Jack. But who's going to take care of us? The short ninja held Jack's arm in one hand and Annie's arm in the other. He led them through the twilight. The tall ninja walked behind them. "Where are we going?" Jack asked. The ninja stopped near the rushing water of the wide stream. The water roared as it raced downhill. The short ninja looked at Jack and Annie. He let go of their arms. Then he pushed them toward the stream.
"You want us to cross it?"
shouted Annie. The ninja nodded. Then he and the short ninja stepped into the wild stream. They started wading across. "Let's run back to the treehouse," said Jack.
"No, we have to follow them," said Annie, "for Morgan's sake."
Jack took a deep breath. She was right. Annie grabbed Jack's hand. Together they stepped into the water.
"Yikes!"
they both screamed and jumped out. It was the coldest water Jack had ever felt. It was colder than ice. It was so cold it felt like fire.
"I can't go back in," said Annie, shivering.
"Me neither," said Jack. "I'll have a heart attack." The ninjas looked at Jack and Annie. Then they turned around and came back. The tall ninja grabbed Jack. "Help!" Jack cried. But the ninja lifted Jack high into the air and put him on his shoulder. The short ninja put Annie on his shoulder. Then the two ninjas stepped into the stream again. The icy wild water swirled around them. It went up to the short ninja's waist. But the ninjas moved through the stream as calmly as two sailing ships. Chapter 5, Flames in the Mist. The water grew shallow again. Then they were on dry land. The ninjas lowered Jack and Annie to the ground.
Thanks, said Annie.
Thanks, said Jack.
Squeak,
said the mouse. The ninjas said nothing, but they looked around. Jack looked around, too. A full moon was rising in the sky. Dark rocks dotted the side of the mountain. Then the ninjas started moving. They went silently up the slope between the rocks. Jack and Annie followed them. Jack wasn't afraid of the ninjas now. In fact, he was starting to like them. Maybe they really could help find Morgan. The ninjas moved silently, but Jack and Annie made plenty of noise. They panted as they climbed the rocky hillside. Their wet sneakers made squishy sounds. Suddenly, the ninjas froze. Jack could see their eyes darting around. Voices were coming from the valley below. Jack saw torches flaming in the mist. The ninjas started moving faster. Jack and Annie hurried after them.
Who's carrying the torches? Annie asked.
Jack was too out of breath to speak. He also didn't have an answer. They came to a pine forest. Night birds called out. Wind rattled the branches. The ninjas moved like ghosts through the forest. They appeared and disappeared through moonlight and shadows. Jack and Annie struggled to keep up. Finally, the ninjas came to a stop. One ninja held out his hand as if to say, wait. Then both ninjas stepped away into the shadows of the trees and were gone.
Where did they go?
Said Annie. I don't know, said Jack. Maybe the book can tell us. He pulled the ninja book out of his pack. He turned the pages until he came to a picture of a cave. By the light of the full moon, he read, sometimes ninjas held meetings in hidden mountain caves to plan secret missions. Oh, man, said Jack. I bet they went inside a hidden cave. He pulled out his notebook and pencil. He wrote, meetings in hidden caves. Jack turned the page. He stared at a picture of a ninja sitting on a mat. He read, ninjas took orders from a ninja master. The master was a mysterious, wise person who knew many secrets of nature.
Wow,
whispered Jack. Just then the two ninjas returned. Jack quickly put his books away. The short ninja motioned for Jack and Annie to follow. In the shadows was the entrance of a dark cave.
What's in there?
Annie whispered. The ninja master, Jack whispered back. Chapter 6, Shadow Warrior. Jack and Annie went into the cave. They followed the ninja through the darkness. The back of the cave was lit with dozens of candles. Shadows danced on the walls. In the flickering light, Jack saw a dark figure sitting on a woven mat. The ninja master. The ninja bowed to the master. Then he stepped to one side. The master stared at Jack and Annie.
Sit, he said.
Jack and Annie sat on the cold, hard floor.
Squeak!
The mouse poked its head out of Annie's pouch.
It's okay, Peanut, said Annie.
The master stared at the mouse for a moment. Then he looked at Jack.
Who are you? He asked.
I'm Jack, and that's my sister Annie, Jack answered.
Where do you come from? The master asked.
Frog Creek, Pennsylvania, Annie answered.
Why are you here? He asked.
We're trying to help our friend Morgan Le Fay, said Jack. She left us a message.
Annie pointed to the short ninja.
We gave the message to him.
You mean you gave the message to her, said the ninja master. And she has given it to me.
She?
Said Jack and Annie together. The woman ninja's eyes sparkled. Jack thought she might be smiling. The master held up Morgan's note.
Perhaps I can help you, he said. But first, you must prove yourselves worthy of my help.
Just then the tall ninja appeared. He made a sign to the master. The master stood up. He handed Morgan's note to Annie.
We must go now, he said. The samurai are close.
Samurai?
Said Jack. He knew that the samurai were fierce Japanese fighters.
Were they the ones in the valley? Jack asked. The ones with the torches?
Yes, our family is at war with them, said the master. We must leave before they find us.
But what about helping Morgan? Said Annie.
The master strapped on his sword.
I have no time now, he said. I must go.
Can't we go with you? Said Annie.
No, there is no place for you where we are going. You must find your way back to your house in the trees.
Alone? Said Jack.
Yes, you must go alone, and beware of the samurai.
Why? Said Jack.
They will think you are one of us, said the master. They will ask you no questions. They will show you no mercy.
Yikes, whispered Annie.
But you have seen the way of the ninja. You can practice it yourselves now, said the master.
How?
Said Jack.
Remember three things, said the master.
What?
Said Jack.
Use nature. Be nature. Follow nature.
I can do that,
Annie said. Jack looked at her.
You can? He said.
The master turned to Jack.
Your treehouse lies to the east. That is the way you must go, he said.
How? Wondered Jack. How do we find the east?
Before he could ask, the master bowed. Then he disappeared into the shadows. The two ninjas led Jack and Annie out of the cave into the moonlight. The tall one pointed at the pine forest. Then they, too, disappeared into the darkness. Jack and Annie were all alone. Chapter 7. To the East. Jack and Annie stood still for a long moment. Annie spoke first.
Well, I guess the tall ninja was pointing to the east, she said. I guess that's the way we go.
Wait, said Jack. I need to write some stuff down.
He took out his notebook. In the moonlight, he wrote, 1. Use nature. 2. Be nature. 3. Follow nature.
Look, Jack, whispered Annie. Do I look like a ninja?
He looked at her. She had pulled her sweatshirt hood over her head and tied the strings tightly. She did look like a ninja, a very small one.
Good idea,
Jack whispered. He pulled his hood up, too.
Okay, let's go, said Annie.
Jack put his notebook away. Then he and Annie headed east into the woods. They slipped between trees and more trees and more trees. All the trees looked the same. Jack got confused. Were they still going in the right direction?
Wait, he said.
Annie stopped. They both stared at the woods around them.
Do you think we're still going east? Asked Jack.
I guess so, said Annie.
We can't just guess, said Jack. We have to know for sure.
How do we do that? Said Annie. We don't have a compass.
Just then the master's words came back to Jack.
The ninja master said to use nature, he said.
How do we do that?
Said Annie.
Wait, I remember something.
Jack closed his eyes. He remembered something in a camping book. Now what was it? He opened his eyes.
I've got it. First we need a stick, he said.
Annie picked up a stick.
Here,
she said.
Great. Now we just need a space with moonlight, said Jack.
There,
said Annie. They moved into a moonlit space between the shadows.
"Now push the stick into the ground," Jack said.
Annie pushed the stick into the ground.
"The stick's shadow looks like it's more than 6 inches," said Jack. "What do you think?"
"It looks like it," said Annie.
"Okay, then that means the shadow's pointing east," said Jack.
"Neat," said Annie.
"So that way is east."
Jack pointed to a new direction.
"At least I hope it is."
"We're real ninjas now," said Annie.
"Yep," said Jack. "Maybe we are. Come on."
They took off, heading east, they hoped. Soon they were out of the pine woods and walking down the rocky mountainside. They moved slowly from rock to rock. Finally, they rested against a giant rock.
"Let's check our direction again," said Jack.
Annie stuck another stick into the dirt.
"There," he said.
He pointed to the shadow on the ground.
"That way."
Annie peeked over the rock down the mountain.
"Yikes," she said softly.
Jack looked too. His heart nearly stopped. There were flames of fire coming up the mountain. The samurai. Jack and Annie ducked behind the rock.
"Squeak,"
said the mouse.
"Quiet, Peanut," said Annie.
Jack reached into his pack. He pulled out the ninja book.
"I hope something in here can help us," he said.
Jack flipped through page after page until he found what he was looking for. It was a picture of warriors wearing bamboo armor. They were holding swords. He read, "The samurai were fierce Japanese fighters. They carried two swords to cut down their enemies." Annie tapped Jack on the shoulder. Jack looked at her. She pointed up the mountain. A figure was coming down toward them. He was very near. In the moonlight, his bamboo armor was shining. His two swords were gleaming. It was a samurai warrior. Chapter 8, Dragon Water. Jack and Annie crouched together. Samurai were on both sides of them now. They were trapped. Jack pressed against the rock. The warrior stepped closer and closer. He looked to the right. He looked to the left. Jack held his breath.
"Be nature,"
whispered Annie.
"What?"
Jack whispered back.
"Be nature. Be a rock."
"Oh, brother," thought Jack. This was nuts. But he squeezed his eyes shut. Then he tried to be part of the rock.
Jack tried to be as still as the rock, as solid as the rock, as quiet as the rock. Soon he started feeling as strong as the rock, as safe as the rock. He wanted to be the rock forever.
"Squeak! He's gone," said Annie. "They're all gone."
Jack opened his eyes. The samurai warrior was gone. Jack stood up and looked over the rock. The torches were gone too.
"Let's go," Annie said.
Jack took a deep breath. He felt great. He was getting more and more like a ninja every minute. Maybe even like a ninja master.
"East," he said.
And they went east, down the mountain, between the rocks, until they came to the wide, icy stream. The water seemed even wilder than before.
"I don't see the treehouse," said Annie.
Jack looked across the stream to the dark grove of trees. Moonlight shone on their pale flowers.
But where was the treehouse? "I don't see it either," said Jack. "We have to cross the water first, then we'll try and find it."
The water was crashing and rushing over the rocks.
"Squeak!"
The mouse peeked out from its pouch.
"Don't be afraid,"
said Annie. She patted the mouse's little head.
"Be like us. Be like a ninja, too."
"Let's go," Jack said.
He took a deep breath and stepped into the stream. The icy water swirled up to his knees. The current knocked him over. Jack grabbed some weeds. He held on tight as water swirled around him. He was freezing to death.
"Jack!"
Annie grabbed Jack's arms. She helped him back onto the bank.
That was close, said Annie.
Jack wiped his glasses. Luckily, they hadn't fallen off in the water.
Are you okay? Said Annie.
Not really, said Jack, his teeth chattering. He was chilled to the bone.
We'll never get across, said Annie. We'll drown if we try.
Or freeze to death, said Jack.
He pulled off the hood of his sweatshirt. He didn't feel much like a ninja anymore. Annie pulled off her hood, too. She sighed.
What can we do? She said. Squeak!
Peanut climbed out of Annie's sweatshirt pouch and leaped onto the ground. The mouse scampered away.
Peanut, come back! Annie called.
No, said Jack. We have to follow Peanut.
Why? Asked Annie.
We have to do what the master said, said Jack. Follow nature.
Oh, right, said Annie. Follow Peanut. But where is Peanut?
In the moonlight, Jack saw the little mouse. It was running through the grass along the stream.
There, he cried. Come on.
Annie hurried after Jack. Jack hurried after Peanut. They ran beside the rushing waters. A moonlit branch had fallen across a narrow part of the stream. It touched both shores. The mouse was running over the branch.
Peanut's going over a bridge, said Annie.
She started to follow.
Wait, cried Jack. We can't go on that branch. It's too small. It'll break.
Chapter 9. Mouse Walk. The mouse vanished into the tall grass on the other side of the stream. Jack and Annie stared at the tree branch.
We have to try to cross it, said Annie. We're supposed to follow nature.
Forget it, said Jack. It's too little. It'll crack in a second.
Maybe if we pretend we're mice, we can do it, said Annie.
Oh, brother, said Jack. Not again.
If you could be a rock, you can be a mouse, said Annie. Just be teeny and light and fast.
Jack took a deep breath.
We have to, said Annie.
Okay, Jack said.
Say squeak,
said Annie.
You're nuts, said Jack.
Just do it, said Annie. It'll help you feel more like a mouse.
Jack groaned. Okay, he said. Squeak.
Squeak,
said Annie.
Squeak, 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 they said together.
Let's go, hurry, said Annie.
Jack stepped onto the branch.
I'm teeny, I'm light, I'm fast, he thought. Then he darted across the branch.
Jack moved so quickly he didn't think about anything except getting to the other side. He forgot the wild freezing water. He forgot the smallness of the branch. Suddenly, Jack was on the other side. Suddenly, Annie was right beside him. They laughed and fell together into the grass.
See, see, the branch didn't break, said Annie.
I guess it was big enough, said Jack. I guess we just had to think the right way.
The peanut way, said Annie.
Yeah, said Jack, smiling. He felt great.
He was still wet from his fall into the stream, but he didn't mind anymore. Jack pushed his glasses into place and stood up.
Okay, now we just have to find the treehouse, he said.
No, we don't, said Annie.
She pointed up. The treehouse was outlined against the moonlit sky, high in a tree, surrounded by white flowers. In the distance came the sound of voices. Then Jack saw flames.
The samurai are coming back, said Jack. We have to go.
Where's Peanut? Said Annie. We can't leave Peanut.
We have to, said Jack.
The voices of the samurai were getting closer. So were their torches.
Come on, Jack said.
He grabbed Annie's hand. He pulled her toward the rope ladder.
Oh, Jack, she said sadly.
Go, go.
Annie started up the rope ladder. Jack followed. He felt sad, too. He liked that little mouse now. He liked it a lot. They climbed up and up. Just before they got to the top, Jack heard it.
Squeak. Oh, wow, cried Annie. Peanut's inside.
Annie pulled herself into the treehouse. Jack followed. He gasped. Someone else was in the treehouse, too. A dark figure was sitting in the corner.
"You have done well," the figure said.
It was the ninja master.
"You have followed the way of the ninja," he said.
"Oh, man," breathed Jack.
"Squeak!"
The master was holding Peanut.
"Take good care of your little helper,"
he said, handing the mouse to Annie. Annie kissed the mouse's tiny head.
"And take this,"
said the master. He held his hand out to Jack. He gave Jack a small round stone.
"This moonstone will help you find your missing friend,"
the master said. Jack stared at the stone. Was this one of the four things?
"You must go home now,"
said the master. He picked up the Pennsylvania book and handed it to Annie.
"Where did you find it?" asked Jack.
"Here," said the master. "You did not see it before, because your heart knew you had a mission to complete first."
"What about you?" said Annie. "Can you come with us?"
"Yes," said Jack. "We need help finding Morgan."
The master smiled.
"No, my friends, I must stay here. There will be more help along the way, but you must find the way on your own."
Annie opened the book. She found the picture of Frog Creek. She pointed to it.
"I wish we could go there," she said.
The wind started to blow. The white flowers started to shake. Clouds covered the moon.
"Remember," the master said, "keep a kind heart."
Then he swung silently down the rope ladder. He disappeared into the dark night.
"Wait!"
Jack called. There was so much he wanted to ask the master. About nature, about ninjas, about their mission. But the treehouse started to spin. It spun faster and faster. Jack gripped the stone in his hand. He squeezed his eyes shut. Then everything was still. Absolutely still. Chapter 10. Night, Peanut. Jack opened his eyes. Then he opened his fist. He stared at the moonstone in his hand. It was clear and smooth. It almost seemed to glow.
"We're home," said Annie.
"Squeak!"
Annie and the mouse were looking out the window. Jack looked with them. The sun was setting in the distance. No time at all had passed in Frog Creek. They heard their neighbor's dog, Henry, bark. They heard crickets chirping. In the distance, they could see their dad step out of their house. He stood on their porch.
"Jack! Annie!"
he called.
"Time for dinner."
"Coming!"
Annie shouted. Jack sat back on his heels. He looked at the moonstone again.
"I guess we have one of the four things," he said.
"We'll look for the other three tomorrow,"
Annie said. Jack nodded. They had a lot more work to do. He put the moonstone in his pocket. He pulled on his pack.
"Ready?"
he said.
"Wait," said Annie.
She took off one of her sneakers. She pulled off her sock. Then she put her sneaker back on.
"What are you doing?" said Jack.
"I'm making a bed," she said.
"A what?"
"Bed. You know, for Peanut to sleep in."
Annie picked up the mouse. She tucked it inside her sock.
"Night, Peanut,"
she said softly.
"Squeak!"
"Oh, brother," said Jack.
Annie held the mouse close to Jack.
"Kiss it goodnight, Jack,"
she said.
"Don't be silly," he said. "Let's go."
"Thanks for helping us,"
Annie said to the mouse. She put Peanut gently down on the glowing M. She pulled Morgan's message out of her pouch and put it next to the mouse.
"See you tomorrow,"
she said. Then she started down the ladder. Jack stared at the mouse. It looked back at him. For a moment, Its dark eyes looked old and wise.
"Come on, Jack," called Annie.
Jack kissed its tiny head.
"Night-night, Peanut,"
he whispered. Then Jack headed down the rope ladder. It got darker and darker as he went down. By the time he stepped onto the ground, it was almost completely black.
"Where are you?" said Jack.
"Here,"
said Annie. Her hand bumped his. He took it.
"Careful," he said.
"Careful yourself,"
she said. Together, they took off through the cool, dark woods. They moved silently and swiftly. Two shadow warriors returning home.
We hope you have enjoyed this unabridged production of Magic Treehouse, Book Number 5, Night of the Ninjas, by Mary Pope Osborne. This program was directed by Lewis Milgram. Executive producer, Laura Wilson. Original music by John Guth. Text copyright 1995 by Mary Pope Osborne. Production copyright 1995, Random House, Inc. All rights reserved. Listening Library presents Magic Treehouse, Book Number 6, Afternoon on the Amazon, by Mary Pope Osborne. Read for you by the author.
Prologue. One summer day in Frog Creek, Pennsylvania, a mysterious treehouse appeared in the woods. 8-year-old Jack and his 7-year-old sister Annie climbed into the treehouse. They found it was filled with books. Jack and Annie soon discovered that the treehouse was magic. It could take them to the places in the books. All they had to do was to point to a picture and wish to go there. Jack and Annie visited the times of dinosaurs, knights, pyramids, pirates, and ninjas. Along the way, they discovered that the treehouse belongs to Morgan Le Fay. Morgan is a magical librarian from the time of King Arthur. She travels through time and space, gathering books. In their last adventure, Night of the Ninjas, Jack and Annie learned that Morgan was under a spell. To free her, Jack and Annie have to find 4 special things. In old Japan, they found the first thing, a moonstone. Now, Jack and Annie are about to set out in search of the second thing, in Afternoon on the Amazon. Chapter 1. Where's Peanut?
"Hurry, Jack," shouted Annie.
Annie ran into the Frog Creek woods. Jack followed her.
"It's still here," Annie called.
Jack caught up with Annie. She stood beside a tall oak tree. Jack looked up. The magic treehouse was shining in the afternoon sunlight.
"We're coming, Peanut,"
Annie called. She grabbed the rope ladder and started up. Jack followed. They climbed and climbed. Finally, they climbed into the treehouse.
"Peanut?"
said Annie. Jack took off his backpack. He looked around. Sunlight slanted across a stack of books. Books about ninjas, pirates, mummies, knights, and dinosaurs. The letter M shimmered on the wooden floor. M for Morgan Le Fay.
"I don't think Peanut's here," said Jack.
"I wonder where she is," said Annie.
"How do you know Peanut's a she?" asked Jack.
"I just know it," said Annie.
"Oh, brother," said Jack.
"Squeak!"
Annie laughed.
"Look, Jack."
A small pink sock was moving across the floor. Yesterday, Annie had turned her sock into a bed for Peanut. Annie picked up the tiny lump.
"Squeak!"
A brown and white mouse peeked out of the sock. She looked from Annie to Jack with her big eyes. Jack laughed. "Hi, Peanut," he said.
"Will you help us again today?" asked Annie.
In old Japan, Peanut had helped them when they'd gotten lost.
"We have to find 3 more things for Morgan," said Annie.
Jack pushed his glasses into place. "First, we have to find a clue that tells us where to begin," he said.
"Guess what?" said Annie.
"What?" said Jack.
"We don't have to look very far."
She pointed at a corner of the treehouse. In the shadows was an open book. Chapter 2. Big Bugs.
"Wow," said Jack, picking up the book. "The ninja book was open yesterday. Now this one. Who opened them?"
Jack closed the book and looked at the cover. It showed a picture of a green forest. The trees were very tall and close together. On the cover were the words, "The Rainforest."
"Oh, wow," said Jack.
"Oh, no," said Annie.
"What's wrong?" said Jack.
"I learned about the rainforest in school," said Annie. "It's filled with big bugs and spiders."
"I know," said Jack. "Half of them have never even been named."
"It's creepy," said Annie.
"It's neat," said Jack. He wanted to take lots of notes in the rainforest. Maybe he could even name some unknown bugs.
"Neat? Yuck," said Annie.
She shivered.
"I don't get it," said Jack. "You weren't afraid of dinosaurs."
"So?"
"You weren't afraid of the castle guards or the mummy's ghost."
"So?"
"You weren't afraid of pirates or ninjas."
"So?"
"You're not afraid of really scary things, but you're afraid of little bugs and spiders? That doesn't make sense."
"So?"
Jack sighed.
"Listen," he said, "we have to go there to help Morgan. That's why the book was left open."
"I know that," said Annie, frowning.
"Plus the rainforests are being cut down," said Jack. "Don't you want to see one before it's too late?"
Annie took a deep breath and slowly nodded.
"Okay, then, let's go," said Jack.
He opened the book again. He pointed to a picture that showed blue sky, green leaves, and bright flowers.
"I wish we could go there," he said.
The wind began to blow.
"Squeak! Stay here, Peanut," said Annie as she put the mouse in her pocket.
The wind picked up. The treehouse started to spin. Jack squeezed his eyes shut. The wind was whistling now. The treehouse was spinning faster and faster. Then everything was still. Absolutely still. Wild sounds broke the silence.
Screech! Buzz! Chirp, chirp!
Chapter 3. Yikes! Jack opened his eyes. The air was hot and steamy.
"It looks like we landed in some bushes," said Annie.
She was peeking out of the treehouse window. Peanut was peeking out of Annie's pocket. Jack peeked out of the treehouse, too. They had landed in a sea of shiny green leaves. Outside, there were flowers, bright butterflies and birds, just as in the book.
"That's strange," said Jack. "I wonder why we didn't land in a tree, the way we always do."
"I don't know," said Annie. "But let's hurry and find the thing for Morgan so we can get back home before we meet any big bugs."
"Wait, this seems weird," said Jack. "I don't understand why we landed in bushes. I'd better read about this."
"Oh, come on," said Annie. "We don't even need the ladder. We can just climb out the window."
Annie put Peanut in her pocket. She stuck one leg out the window.
"Wait!"
Jack grabbed Annie's other leg. He read, "The rainforest is in 3 layers. Thick treetops, often over 150 feet in the air, make up the top layer. This is called the forest canopy. Below the canopy is the understory, then the forest floor.
Get back in here, cried Jack. We're probably more than 150 feet above the ground in the forest canopy.
Yikes,
said Annie. She slipped back into the treehouse.
We have to use the ladder, said Jack.
He got on his hands and knees. He moved leaves away from the hole in the floor. He looked down. The ladder seemed to fall between the branches of a giant tree, but Jack couldn't see beyond that.
I can't tell what's down there, he said. Be careful.
Jack put the rainforest book in his backpack. Then he stepped onto the rope ladder. He started down. Annie followed, with Peanut in her pocket. Jack pushed through the leaves. He came to the understory below the canopy. He looked down at the forest floor. It was very far away.
Oh, man, whispered Jack.
This world was completely different from the one above the treetops. Now that they were out of the sun, it was cooler. It was also damp and very quiet. Jack shivered. It was the spookiest place he had ever seen. Chapter 4. Millions of them. Jack didn't move. He kept staring down at the forest floor.
What's wrong?
Annie called from above. Jack didn't answer.
You don't see any giant spiders, do you?
Annie said.
Well, no.
Jack took a deep breath.
We have to keep going, he thought. We have to find this special thing for Morgan.
No spiders, nothing scary, Jack called,
and he started down the ladder again. Jack and Annie climbed down through the understory. Finally, they stepped onto the forest floor. Only a few rays of light slanted through the gloom. The trees were very, very tall and very wide. Vines and moss were hanging everywhere. The ground was covered with dead leaves.
Before we do anything, I'd better check the book, said Jack.
He pulled out the rainforest book. He found a picture of the dark world under the treetops. He read, In the rainforest, many living creatures blend in with their surroundings. This is called camouflage.
Oh, man,
said Jack. He closed the book and looked around.
There are tons of creatures down here. We just can't see them.
Really?
Whispered Annie. She and Jack peered around at the quiet forest. Jack felt unseen eyes watching them.
Let's hurry and find the special thing,
whispered Annie.
How'll we know when we find it? Jack said.
I think we'll just know, said Annie.
She headed off through the gloom. Jack followed. They crept between the huge trees and past hanging vines. Annie stopped.
Wait, what's that?
What's what?
Listen, that weird sound.
Jack listened. He heard a crackling sound. It sounded like a person walking over leaves. Jack looked around. He didn't see anyone, but the sound got louder. Was it an animal? A giant bug? One that had never been named? Just then the silent forest came alive. Birds took off into the air. Frogs hopped over the leaves. Lizards ran up the tree trunks. The weird noise grew louder and louder.
Maybe the book explains it, said Jack.
He opened the book. He found a picture of different animals running together. He read, When animals hear a crackling sound, they flee in panic. The sound means that 30 million flesh-eating army ants are marching through the dead leaves.
It's army ants, cried Jack. Millions of them. Where?
Cried Annie. Jack and Annie looked around wildly.
There!
Annie pointed.
Army ants, millions and millions of them, were marching over the leaves.
Run to the treehouse, cried Annie.
Where is it? Said Jack, whirling around. All the trees looked the same. Where was the rope ladder?
Just run, cried Annie.
Jack and Annie took off.
They ran over the dead leaves. They ran between wide tree trunks. They ran past the hanging vines and mosses. They climbed over thick roots. Jack saw a clearing ahead. It was filled with sunlight. "That way!" he cried. Jack and Annie hurried toward the light. They pushed their way through the bushes. They burst onto the bank of a river. They stared at the slow-moving brown water.
"Do you think the ants will come this way?" Annie said, panting.
"I don't know," said Jack, "but if we wade a few feet into the river, we're safe. The ants won't go into the water. Come on."
"Look,"
said Annie. She pointed to a big log rocking at the edge of the river. The inside of the log was dug out.
"It looks like a canoe," said Jack.
He listened to the crackling sound in the distance.
"Let's get in it, quick."
Jack shoved the book into his backpack. Then he and Annie carefully climbed into the dug-out log. Annie leaned out of it. She pushed away from the bank with her hands.
"Wait," said Jack. "We don't have paddles."
"Oops," said Annie.
The canoe started moving slowly down the muddy river. Chapter 5. Pretty Fish.
Squeak.
Annie patted the little mouse in her pocket.
"It's okay, Peanut. The ants can't get us in the river. We're safe," she said.
"Maybe safe from the ants," said Jack. "But where is this canoe going?"
Jack and Annie stared at the river. Branches spread over the water. Vines and mosses hung down from them.
"We'd better look this up," said Jack.
He pulled the rainforest book out of his backpack and flipped through it. Soon he found a picture of a river. He read, "The Amazon River stretches over 4,000 miles from the mountains of Peru across Brazil to the Atlantic Ocean. The river basin contains over half of the rainforests in the world." Jack looked at Annie.
"We're on the Amazon River," he said. "It's more than 4,000 miles long."
"Wow,"
Annie whispered. She looked at the river. She trailed her hand through the water.
"I have to make some notes," Jack said.
He pulled his notebook out of his pack. He wrote,
"The Amazon rainforest is..."
"Jack, look at those pretty fish with the teeth," said Annie.
"What?"
Jack glanced up from his writing. Annie was pointing at some blue fish swimming near the boat. The fish had red bellies and razor-sharp teeth.
"Watch it," cried Jack. "Those aren't pretty fish. They're piranhas. They'll eat anything, even people."
"Yikes,"
whispered Annie.
"We better get back on shore," said Jack, putting the books in his backpack.
"How?"
said Annie.
"We can't go in the water now, and we don't have any paddles."
Jack tried to stay calm. "We need a plan," he said.
Jack stared at the river. The canoe would soon float under some vines.
"I'll grab a vine," said Jack, "and pull us to shore."
"Good idea," said Annie.
As they glided under the branches, Jack stood up. The canoe rocked. He nearly fell out.
"Balance the canoe," said Jack.
Annie leaned to one side. Jack reached. He missed. The canoe floated under more branches. Jack reached for another thick vine. He grabbed it. It was cold and scaly. It wiggled and jerked.
"Ah!"
Jack screamed and fell back into the canoe. The vine was alive. It was a long green snake. The snake fell from the tree. It splashed into the water and swam away.
"Oh, man,"
said Jack. He and Annie stared in horror at each other.
"What now?"
said Annie, making a face.
"Well,"
Jack looked at the river. There were no vines up ahead, but there was a big branch floating on the water.
"Grab that branch near you," said Jack. "Maybe we can use it for a paddle."
The canoe floated closer to the branch. Annie reached for it. Suddenly, the branch rose into the air. It was a crocodile.
"Help!"
screamed Annie, and she fell back into the canoe. The crocodile opened and closed its huge, long jaws. Then it moved past the canoe and swam up the river.
"Oh, man,"
whispered Jack. A screeching sound split the air. Jack and Annie jumped.
Help,
said Jack. He expected to see another terrible creature. But all he saw was a small brown monkey hanging by its tail from a tree. Chapter 6. Monkey Trouble.
Squeak, squeak.
Peanut poked her head out from Annie's pocket. She seemed to be yelling at the monkey.
Don't worry, Peanut, said Annie. He's just a little monkey. He won't hurt us.
But suddenly the monkey grabbed a big red fruit hanging from the tree. He hurled it at the canoe.
Watch it,
shouted Jack. The fruit fell into the water with a splash. The monkey screeched even louder. He grabbed another fruit.
Don't throw things at us,
shouted Annie. But the monkey hurled the red fruit right at them. Jack and Annie ducked again, and the fruit splashed into the water.
Stop that,
Annie shouted. But the monkey only waved his arms and screeched again.
Oh, brother, said Jack. I don't believe this.
The monkey grabbed a third fruit and hurled it at Jack and Annie. It landed inside the canoe with a thump. Annie grabbed the fruit. She stood up and threw it back at the monkey. She missed. The canoe rocked. Annie almost fell out. The monkey screeched even louder.
Go away, Annie shouted. You're the meanest thing in the world.
The monkey stopped screeching. He looked at Annie. Then he swung away into the forest.
I think I hurt his feelings, said Annie.
Who cares, said Jack. He shouldn't throw things.
Uh-oh, said Annie. It's raining now.
What? Jack looked up. A raindrop hit him in the eye.
Oh, no, I don't believe this, Jack said.
What'd you expect, said Annie. It is the rainforest.
A gust of wind blew the canoe. Thunder rolled in the sky.
A river's a bad place to be in a storm, said Jack. We have to get back to shore right now.
But how? Said Annie. We can't wade or swim. The piranhas, the snake, and the crocodile will get us.
Screeching split the air again.
Oh, no, said Jack.
The bratty monkey was back. This time the monkey was pointing a long stick at the canoe. Jack crouched down. Was the monkey going to hurl the stick at them, like a spear? Annie jumped up and faced the monkey.
Watch it, he's nuts, said Jack.
But the monkey just stared at Annie, and Annie just stared back at him. After a long moment, the monkey seemed to smile. Annie smiled back.
What's going on? Said Jack.
He wants to help us, Annie said.
Help us how? Said Jack.
The monkey held out the long stick. Annie grabbed the other end. The monkey pulled on the stick. The canoe started floating toward him. The monkey pulled the canoe all the way to the bank of the river. Chapter 7. Freeze. Jack and Annie jumped out of the canoe. The rain was starting to fall harder. The monkey took off. He swung from tree to tree, heading up the riverbank. He screeched and beckoned to Jack and Annie.
He wants us to follow him, said Annie.
No, we have to find the special thing, then go home, said Jack.
He wants to help us, said Annie.
She took off after the monkey. The two of them vanished into the rainforest.
Annie!
Thunder shook the sky.
Oh, brother, said Jack.
He dashed after Annie and the monkey into the dark forest. The forest seemed surprisingly dry. Jack looked up. It was still raining, but the treetops acted like a huge umbrella.
Annie, called Jack.
Jack, Jack, cried Annie.
Where are you?
Here.
Jack hurried in the direction of Annie's voice. Soon he found the monkey. He was screeching and swinging from a tree. Annie was kneeling on the forest floor. She was playing with an animal that looked like a giant kitten.
What's that? Jack said.
I don't know, but I love it, said Annie.
Annie batted the animal's paws. It had gold fur and black spots.
I'd better find out what it is, said Jack.
He pulled out the rainforest book and flipped through it.
Aw, it's so cute, said Annie.
Jack found a picture of an animal with gold fur and black spots. He read, "The jaguar is the biggest predator in the Western Hemisphere."
Forget cute, Jack said. That must be a baby jaguar. It's going to grow up and be the biggest predator in...
What's a predator? Asked Annie.
Grrrr. There was a terrible growl.
Jack whirled around. The mother jaguar was coming out from behind a tree. She was creeping over the dead leaves, right toward Annie.
Freeze! Whispered Jack.
Annie froze, but the jaguar kept moving slowly toward her.
Help, said Jack weakly.
Suddenly, the monkey swooped down from his tree. He grabbed the jaguar's tail. The cat roared and spun around. Annie jumped up. The monkey pulled the jaguar's tail again. Then he let go and took off. The jaguar sprang after him.
Run, Annie, cried Jack.
Jack and Annie took off through the rainforest. They ran for their lives. Chapter 8. Vampire bats?
Wait, said Jack, panting. I think we got away.
Jack and Annie stopped running and caught their breath.
Where are we? Said Jack.
Where's the monkey? Said Annie, looking back at the forest. Do you think the jaguar caught him?
No, monkeys are fast, said Jack. Of course, jaguars are fast too, Jack thought, but he didn't want to tell Annie that.
I hope he's okay, said Annie.
Squeak!
Peanut peeked out of Annie's pocket.
Peanut, I almost forgot you, said Annie. Are you okay?
The mouse just stared at Annie with her big eyes.
She looks scared, said Jack. Poor Peanut.
Poor monkey, said Annie.
She looked around at the forest.
We'd better check the book, Jack said.
He pulled out the book. He turned the pages, searching for help. He stopped at a picture of a scary creature.
Oh, man, what's this? He said.
Jack read the writing below the picture. It said, Vampire bats live in the Amazon rainforest. At night, they quietly bite their victims and suck their blood.
Vampire bats? Said Jack. He felt faint.
Vampire bats? Said Annie.
Jack nodded.
After dark.
Annie and Jack looked around. The rainforest seemed to be getting even darker.
Yikes,
said Annie. She looked at Jack.
Maybe we should go home.
Jack nodded. For once, he agreed with her.
But what about our mission? Said Annie. What about Morgan?
We'll come back, said Jack. We'll have to be prepared.
So we'll come back tomorrow?
Annie asked.
Right. Now, which way is the treehouse? Said Jack.
This way, said Annie, pointing.
That way, said Jack, pointing in the opposite direction.
They looked at each other.
We're lost, they said together. Squeak! Don't worry, Peanut.
Annie started to pat the mouse again, but then she stopped.
Squeak, squeak, squeak! Jack, I think Peanut wants to help us, said Annie.
How?
The way she helped us in the time of ninjas.
Annie placed the mouse on the leafy forest floor.
Take us to the treehouse, Peanut.
The mouse took off.
Where'd she go? Said Annie. I don't see her.
There, said Jack.
He pointed to leaves rustling on the ground. A streak of white passed over the leaves.
Yes, there, said Annie.
Jack and Annie followed the moving leaves. The streak of white appeared and disappeared. Suddenly, Jack stopped. The forest floor was still. There was no sign of Peanut.
Where is she? Asked Jack.
He kept staring at the ground.
Jack!
Jack glanced around. Annie was standing on the other side of a nearby tree. She was pointing up. Jack looked up.
The treehouse! Oh, whew, Jack said softly.
She saved us again,
said Annie.
She's running up the ladder all by herself. Look.
Annie pointed at the rope ladder. Peanut was climbing up one of the ropes.
Let's go, Jack said.
Annie started up the ladder, then Jack. They followed Peanut all the way up to the canopy of the rainforest. Chapter 9, The Thing. Jack and Annie climbed into the treehouse. Peanut was sitting on a stack of books. Annie patted Peanut's little head.
Thanks, she said softly.
I have to write some notes about the rainforest, said Jack. You find the Pennsylvania book.
Annie began searching for the Pennsylvania book, the book that always took them home. Jack pulled out his notebook. He had wanted to take lots of notes here, but all he'd written so far was, "The Amazon rainforest is."
It's not here, said Annie.
What? Jack looked up. He glanced around the treehouse. Annie was right. The Pennsylvania book was nowhere in sight.
Was it here before we left home? Said Jack.
I don't remember, said Annie.
Oh, man, said Jack. Now we can't get back to Frog Creek.
That means we'll be here when the vampire bats come out, said Annie.
Something came flying through the treehouse window.
Ah!
Jack and Annie hid their heads. Thud! Something hit the floor.
A red fruit.
Jack looked up.
The monkey was sitting in the window. His head was cocked to one side. He seemed to be grinning at them. You're safe, said Annie.
Thanks for saving us, said Jack. The monkey just grinned.
I have just one question, said Annie.
She pointed at the fruit.
Why do you keep throwing those at us?
The monkey grabbed the fruit.
No, don't throw it, said Jack.
He ducked. But the monkey didn't throw the fruit. He held it out to Annie. He moved his lips as if he were trying to say something. Annie stared into the monkey's eyes. He moved his lips again.
Wow,
Annie said softly.
I understand now.
Understand what? Said Jack.
Annie took the fruit from the monkey.
This is it, she said. The thing we need.
What thing? Said Jack.
One of the special things we're supposed to find for Morgan, Annie said, to free her from the spell.
Are you sure? Said Jack. Before Annie could answer, Jack saw the Pennsylvania book.
Look, our book, he said, pointing.
We found the thing, and now we can see the book, said Annie. That's the way it works, remember?
Jack nodded. Now he remembered. The ninja master said they wouldn't be able to find the Pennsylvania book until they had found what they were looking for. The monkey screeched with laughter. Jack and Annie looked at him. He was clapping his hands together. Annie laughed with him.
How did you know to give this to us? She said. Who told you to do that?
The monkey just waved at Jack and Annie. Then he turned and swung away out of the treehouse.
Wait, said Jack, looking out the window.
Too late. The monkey was gone. He had vanished below the treetops.
Goodbye,
called Annie. A happy screech came from the mysterious world below. Jack sighed. He picked up his notebook again. He looked at his writing. The Amazon rainforest is. He had to write something before they left. He quickly added, amazing. Jack put away his notebook. Annie picked up the Pennsylvania book.
Now it's really time to leave, she said.
She turned to the picture of the Frog Creek Woods.
I wish we could go there, she said, pointing at the picture.
The wind started to blow. The leaves began to tremble. The treehouse began to spin. It spun faster and faster. Then everything was still. absolutely still. Chapter 10, Halfway There.
Squeak!
Jack opened his eyes. Peanut was on the treehouse windowsill.
We're home, said Annie.
Jack breathed a sigh of relief. Annie held the fruit up to the afternoon light.
What exactly is this?
She asked. Maybe it's in the book, Jack answered. He pulled out the rainforest book. He flipped through the pages. He came to a picture of the red fruit.
Here it is,
he said. He read out loud. The mango has a sweet taste like that of a peach.
Mango,
said Annie. She brought the fruit close to her lips.
Hey,
said Jack, grabbing the mango from her. We have to put it with a moonstone. Jack placed the mango on the M carved into the floor, next to the clear moonstone.
Moonstone, mango,
whispered Annie. It sounded like a spell. We're halfway there, said Jack. Two more to go.
Then we can free you, Morgan,
Annie called as if Morgan were nearby.
How do you know she can hear you?
Said Jack.
I just feel it,
Annie said. Oh, brother, said Jack. He needed more proof than that.
Squeak!
Peanut was looking at Jack and Annie. We have to leave you now, Jack said to the mouse.
Squeak! Can't we take her with us?
Said Annie. No, said Jack. Mom won't let us keep a mouse in the house. She doesn't like mice, remember?
How could anyone not like a mouse?
Said Annie. Jack smiled.
How could anyone not like a spider? He said. That's different.
Annie patted Peanut's head.
Bye,
she said.
Wait for us here. We'll be back tomorrow.
Jack patted the mouse, too. Bye, Peanut. Thanks for your help, he said.
Squeak!
Jack put the rainforest book on top of the book about ninjas. Then he pulled on his backpack, and he and Annie left the treehouse. They climbed down the rope ladder. They stepped onto the ground. They started walking through the Frog Creek woods. Leaf shadows danced in the light. A bird called out. These woods are very different from the rainforest, Jack thought. There are no jaguars or army ants here, he said. No little monkeys.
You know, that monkey was never being mean, said Annie. He was just trying to give us the mango.
I know. Actually, nothing was being mean, said Jack. The army ants were just marching. That's what army ants do. The piranhas were just being piranhas, said Annie. The snake was just being a snake, said Jack.
The crocodile was just being a crocodile, said Annie.
And the jaguar was just taking care of her baby, said Jack. Annie shuddered.
I still don't love bugs, she said.
You don't have to love them, said Jack. Just leave them alone, and they won't bother you. In fact, that's true about the whole rainforest, Jack thought. Everyone should just leave it all alone. Who cares if the bugs don't have names? He said softly. They know who they are. Jack and Annie stepped out of the Frog Creek woods. They started walking up their street. It was lit with a golden light.
Race you,
said Annie. They took off running. They ran across their yard. They raced up their steps. Safe, they shouted together, tagging their front door.
We hope you have enjoyed this unabridged production of Magic Treehouse, Book Number 6, Afternoon on the Amazon, by Mary Pope Osborne. This program was directed by Lewis Milgram. Executive producer, Laura Wilson. Text copyright 1995 by Mary Pope Osborne. Production copyright 1995 Random House, Inc. All rights reserved.